February 18th, 2018. We come to worship today under a dark cloud. Evil has broken out again in a dramatic and terrible way, claiming innocent victims' lives in Florida. I'm aware that evil is allowed everywhere, every day in our world. As long as we worship our God in this world, the shadows of living east of Eden will always be with us. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But Jesus finished that statement saying, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Our Lord Jesus also said, "I have overcome the world," friends, not in power, but in love. No darkness quenches Jesus' light. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus. For those who are challenged to know and experience God's love, times like this are especially difficult. We want to remember the Psalms. Psalm 34, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and rescues those who are crushed in spirit." And from Isaiah chapter 61, that the Messiah comes to heal the brokenhearted. We worship today in those promises. We sing praise through those promises. We pray knowing that a 19-year-old in a Florida jail didn't have to kill. Our Lord still offers that young man a new life. That young man can still choose life, the life given freely to us, the life given for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are usually sure to include in the worship an affirmation of our faith taken directly from God's Word, this one from Ephesians chapter 2. "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." God's word for today is from the letter to Titus in the second chapter, verses 11 through 14, where the apostle writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good." The last time, last week, since we are as we were last Sunday, in the middle of the Winter Olympics in Korea, I noted that the apostle mentioned the games in his letter to the church in the city of Corinth, the Greek city of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 9:25, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." The Apostle Paul may not have been talking about the Olympic Games, the ancient Olympic Games in Greece, upon which our modern games are based. Paul might have been referring to a more local contest, which was held every 2 years, closer to the city of Corinth. Either way, Last time, we also learned that the Greeks were sports enthusiasts, real fans, just as crazy as American fans are. Probably worse, since we have laws regulating our sports, the ancient Greeks did not have such laws, and every kind of vice showed up at the games, including bribery of players and judges. But we do know about training for the Olympics. That information has come down to us from the ancient Greeks. 10 months of training. 10 months of training were required just to try out for the Olympics in ancient Greece, which went on, that is, the games themselves, were held for over 1,000 years. The last month of training was held near the site of the Olympics with the training manual of the Olympic Committee because the ancient Greeks had one of those as well. The training was intense, and so were the games. Some people were maimed, even killed. So when the apostle suggests a comparison between those athletes and the followers of Jesus, we should listen carefully. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Traditionally, a crown of leaves cut from a tree, so the leaves are dying, fading. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it. We do it. What is it that Christians do? We train. They train for that crown. We train to get a crown that will last forever. We train, the apostle says. Do we train because we earn a crown? No. You already get a crown. But you don't want to be disqualified. And so today's Bible reading from Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions." And I'm so glad that I read a different version of that Bible verse from Titus chapter 2, because when you look at the English versions of that verse, half of them say, "teaching us," and half of them say, "training us." And I'll look at that in detail in a few minutes. Grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope. So we train for something and we train to refuse something. Grace is training us. What is grace training us to do? Grace is training us to renounce ungodliness, our old ways of doing things. Grace is training us to renounce worldly passions. And grace is training us to live self-controlled lives, training us to live upright lives. Grace is training us to live godly lives in the present age. Because as was shown this week again, it's hard in this present age to live godly lives while we are waiting for our blessed hope. Now, some might be unconvinced of this emphasis in the apostles' words, to train, to go into strict training for Jesus. I noted another passage last week, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." And then the apostle suggests some of the training regimen in godliness. "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture." Devote yourself to preaching and to teaching. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. 1 Timothy 4:15. And why should we do that? Well, he says right there, so that everyone may see your progress. Why should others see your growth in Jesus Christ? Why should we persevere in that? Verse 16. Because if you do, you will save your hearers. The people who are watching you, the people who hear you, they will come to know the truth when they see your devotion, your training in godliness, your love in action. Others will see you and turn to Jesus. Others will see you and be open to the new life in Jesus. Others will see you keeping fit and qualified in godliness rather than disqualified. So you've really been saved for something in addition to being saved from something. You're saved from death and you're saved for life, a better life. One more verse to notice, 2 Timothy 3:16. You know this verse. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. And we get the two different words there. Teaching and training. In looking at various translations of these verses, some are divided as to whether the word should be educated or trained. Those words are close in meaning in English, but they really are different ideas. In the Greek language, those ideas are not so different. Besides, in some of the verses, the idea of training is emphasized, just like in this one in 2 Timothy, when teaching is one action and training is another. Even the word discipline in the Bible is less something we demonstrate, as if saying that person certainly has a lot of discipline. In the Bible, it means more that discipline is like family discipline. It's a corrective. In the Bible, discipline isn't something you possess. Discipline is something you're trained in or trained by. And I'm trying to be thorough, and I want to be accurate when we look at what the apostle is telling us. And when we look at his use of these words, we have to ask ourselves, do I want a United States Army to be educated, or do I want a United States Army to be trained? If I go to the physical therapist, do I want to go to one that is educated, or do I want one that is trained? Maybe you assume that if the person is trained, they are educated. So I ask, does the apostle want followers of Jesus who are educated, or does the apostle want followers who are trained? I know that I've told you of a brilliant classmate of mine in seminary. He clearly was educated. He knew the value of an education. But when he said that he asked himself what would he value most in a pastor, he said that he himself would want a pastor who prayed. Friends, there isn't a lot of education necessary for prayer, is there? But my brilliant friend, and we know he was brilliant because he got A's in Hebrew, and he wasn't even taking it for a grade. He was brilliant. But he said he did not have to have a pastor who was brilliant like him. He didn't say that, but I am. He wouldn't call himself brilliant. I do. He did not have to have a pastor who was brilliant like him. That young man wanted a pastor who was trained, devoted, diligent in the act of prayer. It seems to me that we have for too long in our society emphasized the right answer to questions, and that idea still exists in our churches. We ask ourselves, how shall I answer? What do I say? Jesus told us not to worry too much about what we say and how we answer. Jesus, however, commanded us to love others. What is the answer to that question? The answer to the question of loving is training and practice, learning how to love others. Take forgiveness, for example. Forgiveness is an act of love, is it not? God loves us. God forgives us through Jesus Christ the Messiah. Many sensitive followers of Jesus are troubled when they cannot forgive immediately, even though Jesus did not use that word, immediately. I spoke with a person just yesterday, we'll call him Jay, who had had two conversations. One friend had reminded him that forgiveness was necessary to enter the kingdom, that with the mercy you have shown or not shown will be the mercy shown to us. The second conversation Jay had was with another person who had troubled Jay. Jay knows that he wants to forgive this person, but when this person showed up, Jay could feel the tension within himself. He knew that he had not yet forgiven this person. I suggested that since Jay's intention was to forgive the person, that he only needed to practice forgiving that person more. What is that phrase? Fake it till you make it? No sports coach would say that, but practice is trying to do something well or do something completely until you get it right. It might look good, but maybe it's not right. You just keep trying and trying and trying until you make it. Sometimes simply announcing that you forgive someone isn't enough. That I want to forgive someone is a good first step, but I know even if I pronounce forgiveness, it has happened in my heart until the heart practices and gets it right. It hasn't happened in my heart until the heart practices and gets it right. So I have to be devoted to forgiveness. I have to persevere in forgiveness. I continue to train for forgiveness. The apostle is suggesting that forgiveness may require devotion, practice, patience, maybe even some correction. I come back to the question of forgiveness many times with regard to a situation. Have I forgiven that yet? I want to, but have I? Maybe I should try again. Maybe there's another way for me to work out that forgiveness. Maybe I will have to attempt forgiveness several times in that instance before it finally does happen. So the apostle wrote to the church or churches in the city of Rome, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Notice we are called to be devoted to this love thing. I think we can be sure that Olympic athletes, both ancient and modern, are devoted to their sport. Ancient Olympians were devoted to their sport and to their training. The apostle has already mentioned the connection to training. So training, devotion to love and the works of love. The apostle wrote in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And in that other sports example from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, let us throw off everything that hinders us and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And when the apostle's life was coming to a close, the apostle said, I have finished the race. The apostle trained. The apostle ran. The apostle finished the race. The apostle wants us in training so that we can run with perseverance and with him and like the apostle, finish well. Finish the race. Without any disqualification. Amen. And enjoy the rest of the Winter Olympics.